So we're talking education this week.
Yes, we are, because it's that time of year where we're getting ready to vote for Chatham County School District. And we've been interviewing candidates all week to talk to them about where they stand and how they look at the future. A lot of races are opposed. There are candidates. I remember an election not so long ago where there were no incumbents opposed. Nobody ran. And this is nice to see a flurry of good candidates coming into a race about something we should all care about very, very much. You know, this workforce, this public school workforce, this is what determines the rest of our future.
Why do you think there's so much interest this year in people, new people running for office?
I think there's been a level of frustration out there that, and this is something that's tangible. Schools are tangible. You know, moms, neighbors, you see schools, you see school buses. They feel like this is a way to enter the political arena. This is a way to be heard and actually make a difference. Everyone knows that when you influence a child, it's a big deal.
So you said you guys sat down and talked to candidates. Mm-hmm. What are you hearing from them?
Well, it's interesting. What I like about what I'm hearing is that no one wants to stop progress. They see progress, but no one wants to stop it. But what you also hear is that there's a new focus, a real focus on the root causes of the problems in the community, and it goes back to pre-K. There's a huge support for pre-K programs and making sure that low-income neighborhoods have access to exactly what everyone else does. And also understanding that you have to reach children before age 6, earlier, 3 years old. And then we see this coalition coming together in the community this week with city council putting money toward the pre-K for the 3-year-olds because the state doesn't support that. And so these outside groups who have been working on this effort for a long time, it's a coalition. People are finally coming around this idea that we have to address children. And that's nice. It's been a good week for that.
For people who don't have children in public school or in school at all, why should they care about this?
There is nothing more important than schools, because every bit of public school service affects every household, not to mention every household pays taxes to support the schools. But everything we do is governed by an educated public. And the public schools must succeed. They must be strong in any society. And it's our job to make sure they are.
What are the biggest challenges facing the schools right now, in your opinion? And how did anybody say anything kind of interesting or surprising when you were talking to them?
I think the challenge is making sure that all schools have the equal opportunities. The magnet schools, except they're more choice schools that we have here, choice programs, and making sure that all children have access to those choice programs. And even those that come from schools that aren't achieving, you have wonderful children there who are very, very smart and need to get and find their niche in life. And they need to understand that. So reaching them with those messages early and reaching the parents early, getting the parents interested and inspired in what the children are inspired by, really makes a difference.
So of the candidates, who's sticking out to you? Who's saying something different? Who is anybody saying anything that's surprising?
Not really. I think every candidate is concerned about the rancor on the school board as it stands now. The meetings are often tough to listen to because there's a lot going back and forth. I think every candidate expressed that was a problem for them, and they felt like it was not forward motion and there needed to be better communication, and also better communication with the teachers and the students. I think they believe that there's progress, that progress has been made, but it's been overshadowed by some of the rancor.
You touched on the budget. City Council kind of decided yesterday what to do with this surprise surplus. So part of it's going to fund pre-K. What else are they talking about funding, and have you had any reaction yet? It was just yesterday. So
we haven't had a lot of reaction, but the reaction has been ever since the $10 million surplus was announced. There's been a lot of reaction because they also imposed the fire fee at the same time. And I think you've had a lot of that. You see some discontent within the council itself. People say, you know, we've got this surplus, let's give it back and reduce the fire fee. That's not happening. They've decided to invest the money.
Yeah, the two council members who didn't vote yesterday to approve the budget both cited the fire fee.
Exactly.
That's why they didn't vote for it, yeah.
Exactly. And we've got, you know, money going to the Cultural Arts Center. That was working its way toward overruns. They're going to fix that with the surplus. They're going to do the pre-K initiative. They've got a few other projects they need to pay off and some debt relief. So they're going to take care of a lot of things with that. One thing they've got to worry about right now also is they need to upgrade their security system on their computer. The city had a massive malware attack earlier this year, and they've not recovered yet. So some of that money is going to help with the enhance the computer security for that.
The thing I've seen the most questions about in terms of the things that came out yesterday, it's probably the least consequential, is making Montgomery Street two lanes again, or two-way traffic again. Do you have any background on that?
Well, they need to do that because of the Cultural Arts Center. That's part of it's going to change the traffic pattern there between the Civic Center and the Cultural Arts Center as they go along. So they've got to figure out the traffic patterns and make it two-way street.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I think it's going to confound a lot of us for a while, though.
Probably so. All changes do, right?
If they'll add some parking spaces, that'd be awesome.
And I think finally the thing we'll touch on is the headline story in your paper today, that the gang unit made its first big arrests of the year this week.
It did. It made it got an indictment. It was in Carver Heights. It was a homegrown gang. They say there's no national affiliations, but they say they put a stop to something that could have grown much larger, faster. The gang unit appears to be working within Savannah Police at this time. And we'll see how after the indictments, we'll see how it all shakes out.
What's coming up this weekend in the paper?
This weekend? Well, we've got tourism numbers back from Visit Savannah. Every year they do a survey, and they tell us how many visitors and how much those visitors spent. And they've spent a lot more money. We've had a few more visitors, but a lot more money. And that's the key. They've been working very hard over the past few years to make sure that when visitors came to town, they spent more money. They weren't necessarily going for more visitors as much as they were to make sure they left a lot more money in Savannah and paid a lot more taxes. And that's what happened. So you'll have a full report on that on Sunday.